blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 283, stanzas 2 through 5. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2 through 5 of 283.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found by renewal in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, beginning with the 8th verse to and including the 20th verse. Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are gathered together once again in thy house of prayer, and we read in thy holy word there is a time to weep and there is a time to laugh. And there is a time to mourn and there is a time to dance. O Lord, what time is it? What time is it for that family? What time is it also for us as a congregation? We come together in a time, in a day of great rejoicing for thy church. A time wherein they do laugh, a time wherein they may dance, and yet in an outward way for a family, for a consistory, for a congregation, then we are cast into deep mourning. O Lord, wilt thou remember all those that mourn in these days? O, do teach us from above. As thy servant did say, as the Lord liveth, surely there is but a step between me and death last Sunday. And in thy house the next Sunday, oh, then he is not in thy house with us anymore. And yet, Lord, thou knowest where that he is, and thou knowest also what a confidence and what a blessedness thou hast brought in our own heart for him. O Lord, thou thyself art God and dost sit upon thy throne of glory that is so fixed forever. Everything is done according to thy most holy and good will and providence. And we are all called to bow under thee. But oh, that we may also learn to hasten for our life's sake, that it may be well with us also upon our journey to that great and never-ending eternity. Oh, give this day, this Christmas day, when we are gathered for the commemoration, and not of the death, but of the birth, the coming of thy dear and beloved Son into this world, and that he may put away death, hell, and the grave. Oh, that he may die for his people, and that he may sanctify the grave as a resting place for his people, and that he may also one day raise them up again, that they may be with body and soul glorify and magnify thee, the Most High God, for all thy great goodness and for thy great grace bestowed upon them. Oh, that we also may be included, Lord, that there may be a holy and a blessed desire in our hearts, a longing that may be fulfilled in its day, in thy day, in the day that thou seest fit, when all hope from our side is cut off, oh, and there is nothing anymore, nothing but a wretched and a poor sinner who cannot save himself, oh, that he may be delighted to have revealed in his soul the blessedness of thy dear Son, born into this world, born into his heart. Oh, Lord, grant us all to know that blessed joy that is above all the joys and the rejoicing in the midst of this fallen world. Oh, that thou may take us by heart and by hand, the young as well as the old, that we may not delight in all that is perishing. Oh, that we may lose all our desire for it, all of our hope in it, that it all may be cast away. Oh, that we may despair of ourselves, that we may also be given to see, to behold with our eyes, oh, that beautiful sight of what thou hast given, the gift of God, his thine only begotten and dearly beloved Son. Oh, that thou may so bless us, Lord, undeservedly. Remember all that mourn. Thou knowest all their places. Remember all that are needy also, for it is a day in the midst of this world wherein so many disappointments will be experienced. Disappointments in hopes that are built upon things that perish, that cannot fill that heart that was made and created to be filled with thee. When many in the days to come, as it is each year again, oh, in all the disappointments, will bring the knife to their own throat. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember all those that do despair. Oh, that thou would prevent all that self-murder. And wilt thou give that true hope to be declared in the midst of this world and of this country. Oh, that men may be given to hear from the east to the west of what thou hast done. Oh, that a note of joy may be sung in the midst of this world, and that there may be hope amongst those that do despair. Oh, Lord, remember all thy servants. Increase their number. Remember us as a consistory. Be with our brother at home, and wilt thou raise him up again. Oh, that thou may supply health and strength to him again, and that thou may give him yet to labor a little in our midst, if it could be thy will and thy good pleasure. Visit him, O Lord, when he is there in his own home, and when he cannot be with us again in this day. Oh, that thou would give thy presence to be felt there in that sanctuary that thou hast driven him unto, and that thou may remember us as a consistory. Help us, O Lord, to go forward. Help us to know thy way. Provide for us as a consistory, as a congregation. Oh, give that there may be many that are in their inner chamber in these days. O Lord, what hast thou to say unto us? O bring us to self-reflection, and that thou may teach us all in the way that we must go, and give that thy will may be done in all things, and that thou would raise up those whom thou dost appoint to be officers within thy church. O Lord, help us also in this hour. Be in our midst. Give us words to speak. Give us the matter to burn in our heart, that there may be a fitting place for it also in the midst of us as a congregation, an Advent people, a waiting people, a people who cannot apply it to their own heart. Oh, a people that does hang upon thee, and that does experience that those that wait for thee shall not be ashamed. Oh, take reasons out of thyself and thy own dear and beloved Son to do it for us in this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 262, all the stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. And what follows in Psalter 262, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, every year Christmas is long proclaimed in the midst of this world and waited for in the midst of this world, that it may be celebrated in emptiness and in vanity. But for much longer has Christmas been proclaimed and waited for in the midst of His church, that it may be commemorated not in vanity nor in emptiness, but in its great substance, in its great fullness. What does a man need to experience in his short journey between the cradle and the grave more than Christmas? Because it is here that is born the most essential act of faith that is necessary for us to know in order that we may live in comfort and that we may die in peace. That faith is a gift of God, the Apostle Paul says. That is not just a common gift that God is giving to every man in this world, as the Arminians do say. And that we have an ability by common grace to exercise such a faith, no. But that is a faith that is a special gift that is given to God, by God to His church in a very special way. That faith is described in our beloved Heidelberg Catechism. Is that catechism beloved unto you? There are many people for whom it is not beloved. There are many people who have hated and who have scorned our Heidelberg Catechism. But for God's people, that has been a book of comfort. And why? Because that wisdom that the Lord has given to its authors to write has given them to write it in the way that the Lord is leading His children here upon earth. And you read in Lord's Day 5, how that man is cut off, and that they have seen is so necessary. And then you read in Lord's Day 6, how that mediator is revealed. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately afterwards in Lord's Day 7, and you read about this faith, that faith that may believe in Him when He is born in the heart of a man as he goes over this world. Thus there is a holy order. A holy order that is in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, which was perceived by these authors, and that has been given unto us. And we hope, young people, when there are so many things that are coming against that truth in our days, that you will be given by the Lord to see the wisdom and the grace that the Lord has given to our forefathers. And when He has given them to write those things that are so necessary for us to know, we hope that you never will forsake such a truth, such a doctrine. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So far the words of our text. A Savior revealed. First, unto whom he is revealed. And second, who he is that is revealed. A Savior revealed. First, unto whom he is revealed. And second, who he is that is revealed. For unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. That is, congregation, what the whole Bible is about. A Savior. You need a Savior? We read about the need for a Savior. Where? We read about that. It begins in the beginning of the Bible, in our fall. And then we read about the promise of a Savior. In the entire Old Testament, so many ways, by types, by prophecies, by promises. And then we read about the coming of the Savior. And all that the Savior has done in the New Testament. Congregation, that is now what the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about. It is about a Savior, and that is a wonder. And why? Because God himself is the one who has given this Savior. He has provided that Savior, and he has not only provided him, but he has also revealed him. He has given his word that the coming of that Savior that may be declared unto all this world. Do you need a Savior? Do you need the Savior? Do you need the Savior that God himself has provided? And what do you need then such a Savior for? What would you like such a Savior to do for you? We have heard here about the shepherds. And they were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. We don't read so much about those shepherds. One thing we do read about those shepherds, we read that they were chosen by the Lord. That is, that they were chosen by the Lord to receive the first revelation, a revelation from the Lord himself, the revelation of the coming of his own Son into this world. And thus, congregation, we do read much about those shepherds. Because that tells us now so much about those shepherds. You say, what does that say? Well, the Lord does not appear to just everyone in this world. The Lord does not appear to everyone in a favorable way. He does not appear to everyone to encourage them and to deliver them and to declare unto them as such tidings as these. No, the Lord says in his word to whom he will appear. Then we read that the Lord says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. And it is of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. And thus we know very much then about those shepherds. When we can read in God's word that it was to those shepherds that the Lord himself did look. How is that with you? Do you also tremble at the word of God. These shepherds were of the lowest class of the people in a social way. But they were regarded over everyone else by the Most High God, by Him who sitteth upon the throne of heaven and earth. Oh, do not look for great and for high things in this world. The Lord Jesus says that the secret things of Him are hidden from the wise and the prudent of the world, and that they are revealed unto the babes. And thus we find out. Thus we may know who that these shepherds are. Oh, would it be good with you if you would be numbered in this world among the most despised? Would that be good with you? In order, if only you may belong to those to whom that the Lord would reveal the secrets of His heart, the secrets of His salvation. Fear not. Who says that? That is an angel. And he says that to the shepherds. Thus it is a messenger from heaven. Why does he say that? Well, because we read that the shepherds are sore afraid. Are you ever afraid? Are you ever afraid? Children, I think sometimes you are afraid. Maybe you think that when you get older that you will not be afraid anymore. And maybe you think that father and mother are never afraid. I think that is different. Oh, then there are times that all of us are afraid. And why are we afraid? What are we afraid of? Well, you say we are afraid of pain. We are afraid of suffering. Yes. And ultimately we are afraid of dying, are we not? And ultimately we are afraid of the judgment. The judgment that is beyond dying. Oh, before sin came in the world, there was no fear. And thus all fear is a consequence of sin. So that was also with these shepherds. And when those shepherds are all of a sudden, they are standing in the presence of an holy angel. An angel that has come in those moments from the very presence and nearness of God. That is standing before that great and holy majesty. And suddenly those shepherds, they are standing in this great glory. We read, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Oh, an angel. Angels are spirits. We don't normally see a spirit, do we? Normally a spirit is hidden from our eyes. There are many people in the world who don't believe that there are angels, but there are. That is the true testimony of the Holy Word of God, as well as there are devils, as well as there are evil spirits. Oh, we also have a spirit, do we not? We also have a soul, do we not? And then we are going to find out one day that these angels and that these devils... And they do indeed exist. But here that angel appears unto them in a visible way. And congregation, when we will now have to stand suddenly, our brother had to stand suddenly.
Oh, we were standing with him there in that emergency room. When he was still alive. In those moments. And when the very last time and that his heart did beat. In those very moments when his soul did fly away. Oh, then you stand in awe. And you say, what is happening in this very, very moment? Oh, then he has stood before that judgment seat of God. Then he has come before the majesty of God. Oh, those shepherds have felt something of this. A single angel from heaven did descend unto this earth in all of the glory and all of the majesty of heaven. And those shepherds, they are there standing with by this angel. That's a little bit, just a little bit of the glory of heaven that is shining here upon the earth. And then those shepherds feel this. And immediately those shepherds, we read, are afraid. And they are not just a little afraid. No, we read that these shepherds are very afraid, that they are sore afraid. And why are they afraid? And why will we be afraid? Because Adam and Eve were not afraid in paradise before sin came into the world. And when they lived in that beautiful garden and that God came and he spoke to them in that garden, oh, then they were not afraid and they did not need to be afraid. They were created by him and he did dwell with them and speak to them and commune with them all without fear. And now these shepherds, the moment a single messenger from heaven is standing before them, then these shepherds are trembling. It is congregation because of sin. How easily do we commit sin? Do we ever think about that? That is so easy, isn't it, children, young people? All of us, it is so easy, isn't it? Why is that so easy? Because it is our flesh. Because it is by nature our disposition, that is the way we are, the love of that sin that is living, that is dwelling in our heart. And there is nothing within us that is rejecting that sin, that is fighting that sin. Then we are not part of a church militant. No. No, then we are ever slaves and livers in sin. But you say these men, these shepherds. I thought you said that they were men who trembled at God's word. Were they then not God-fearing men? Could they not then stand before that angel when that tender fear of the Lord did live, did burn within their heart? Congregation, did you ever see such a man? Such a boy or girl, children, did you ever see such a boy or a girl? That did say to you when you wanted to do this or that, no, no, don't do it. We may not do it because the Lord sees us. Oh, did you ever meet such a one? That did not dare to step over a straw. That did live with desire in all obedience to the word of God. Oh, maybe you say of such a one, oh, if there was ever such a person that feared the Lord, it was that man or that boy or girl. Oh, I think the tender fear of the Lord is living in their heart. And then you will ask them, oh, how is that with you? Are you ever afraid? Oh, they say, I am afraid. I'm afraid of what? Or I am afraid to die. I am afraid to appear before God. And why is that? You say, but man, that life you live, oh, that is a life above all the lives of every man of church or world. And yet there is no peace in his heart, is there? Oh, he, all that obedience, it is the desire of his heart. But all the obedience that he can bring does not take away the fear of death. Does not take away the fear of standing before a holy and a righteous God. That was so also with these shepherds. Oh, there can be a time that they thought it would take it away. But slowly on, and then they think, oh, I still have fears. I still have fears. I still tremble. Oh, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not. Is that not a wonder, congregation? That such words are spoken in the midst of this world. Fear not. They are not spoken lightly. Maybe you have had someone say that to you. Oh, you do not need to be afraid, I think. I think with the way that you live, surely that is better than all the saints that have gone before. And look, you have not done what David has done. And you have not done what Solomon has done or what Manasseh has done. Oh, I think, man, woman, there is no need for you to be afraid. What does that do for that man? What do you think that does for him? Anything? Do you think that can take away a single fear? Oh, it cannot take away a single fear. No, because those words are spoken by a man. And he is a carnal man, whoever he is. And now this word that is not spoken by a man, but that word is spoken by a messenger. It is a messenger from heaven, from God. It is a message from God himself. That messenger is only an instrument in the hand of the Lord to bring that word directly from heaven itself. Who can fathom that? What that was for these trembling shepherds to get a comforting word from heaven itself. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? To get a word in your soul from heaven itself. Always congregation through the word. Always through the word. Stay with that. Remember that that is the word of God. But when the Lord gives the application, oh, then it becomes so personal. Then it becomes so fitting. Then it becomes so suitable to us. And that is what we read here now. That is what is taking place at Christmas. It is taking place at Christmas then. It is taking place at Christmas also today. Our second thought, who he is that is revealed. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not. For behold, thus the angel says, pay attention now, because I am going to tell you why. I am going to give you now the substance. Then I do not just say, fear not. No, but I tell you why, how it is that you do no longer need to be afraid. Oh, there is a reason. There is a foundation. There is substance under these words. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Oh, what do we see? It is now just the opposite of what those shepherds are experiencing. It says, good tidings of great joy. Tidings. What are tidings? That is news. News. News of something that has happened. News of something that has taken place. Thus it is not here the event itself. No, we heard of that this morning. The event itself. This is not the event itself. This is now the event being declared. It is that event being revealed. It is tidings of this event. Tidings, news. What is that? Children, you say that is just words. That is right. Just words. Are words powerful? Oh, words can be very, very, very powerful. Or we can read in the Bible how that a man can stoop. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop. We read, but a good word maketh him glad. Good word. Do you have a good word for someone sometimes whose heart is stooping? And we read in God's word about Ahijah the prophet, who had a word from heaven to speak unto the wife of Jeroboam. I'm sent unto thee with heavy tidings. Heavy tidings, O congregation. What will that be? And when we will receive heavy tidings, we'll have to bear those tidings with our own shoulders. Is that not heavy for us? When our loved ones will pass away, is that not heavy? Will there not now be something to lighten those heavy tidings? Or will there not be something in how that person lived? Or something of that hope? That hope for our loved ones that will lighten those heavy tidings. Oh, she had to experience those heavy tidings because of the wickedness of her husband. Oh, wickedness that will be met with heavy tidings. Do you believe that? The end of our life. When it is a life just full of wickedness and there has been no change in our life, there has been no turning in our life, oh, then it will be in the end of our life, heavy tidings. But you know what the Lord Jesus said in his life? He said in his life that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me that I may preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings. Oh, what a wonder that such good tidings have come into this world. And so we read here of these meek. So we read here about these shepherds that may receive such good tidings. Good tidings, we read, of great joy. Good tidings of great joy to these shepherds who are sore afraid. Thus we read, as it were, of two extremes, don't we? They are not just afraid, and it is not just joy, but they are sore afraid. And these good tidings are of great joy. Oh, do you see those extremes? Can you feel those extremes a little bit? just in a natural way for these disciples, for these shepherds. It is just like that light. They are sitting there in the darkness, aren't they? It is dark. And then all of a sudden there is light. And where does that light come from? That light is coming from heaven. And that light that comes just in a moment, that light that comes suddenly. You know what we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? The prophet of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, he said that that time was coming, that he that they did look for would come suddenly. Suddenly he will come into his temple. That is now when that people are sitting in that blackest darkness, when it is for them become so very, very difficult. No. So very, very impossible. And then the Lord is coming. Do you know what we read in the Bible? We read that the Lord is lifting his people. Lifting his people. He is lifting them out of that miry clay, of that horrible pit, all that we would say that is as deep and it is full of mire, and they are not able to get out of that mire. It is a hopeless case. Is it so with you? And then the Lord is lifting that people, and he is setting that people on a rock. Thus we see the extremes from that great misery unto the greatest blessedness, the greatest glory. And our congregation, something of those two extremes. Oh, when the Lord is now revealing this unto his people. Something of these two extremes. Just think about that stable. Oh, what lower place in the midst of this world. And then there for the highest one to be brought forth into this world and laid in that manger, then you understand the things that the Lord has brought together by this Emmanuel, the chiefest of the sinners with the greatest Savior. Oh, then it is, as we read here, good tidings of great joy unto those who are sore afraid. And it is not even just unto those shepherds, no, but those angels, they do say that there, they say that that is a message that shall be not only to you, shepherds, but it is also going to be unto all people, unto all the nations of this world. Oh, it is going to go out from this point forward. Why? Because the Lord is going to have his people upon the earth unto to the last day of this world. And they are going to be there as those shepherds were there, as those shepherds were fearful, even though they were trembling at the word of God. Even though that word of God was near and precious to them, and yet they could not keep that law to perfection, and yet they are standing there in the displeasure of the Lord because of their iniquity, and they cannot, with all the love and desire of their heart, they cannot get out of that, and they cannot be brought in by their own strength. And then it is unto these that come and those blessed tidings from heaven. Let us sing 230, 4, 5, and 6. To us thy mercy now afford, and show us thy salvation, Lord. Yea, thou wilt answer us in peace, if from our folly we will cease. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 230. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior. That is now the substance. That is now the content of that message of these tidings, these good tidings, of great joy. That is a Savior. What is a Savior? That is a deliverer. That is a preserver. A preserver of a man's life. Are there those of you for whom and that these are good tidings? That these are good tidings of great joy. A Savior. A Savior for those who are not able to save yourselves. A Savior. A Savior for those who cannot deliver themselves from their own sin. Are there those who are not able to stand before that holy and that righteous God, and that can only fear with the thought of appearing before Him? That is a Savior to save from your guilt, a Savior to save from your pollution, a Savior to save from sin itself, a Savior to justify you, a Savior to sanctify you, a Savior to renew your whole soul, a Savior to bring you back again into that blessed communion of your Maker, of your Creator. Unto you is born this day. Unto whom? Well, what is the promised congregation? What do we read in the Word of God? Unto you that fear my name, as shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And now the angel says unto you, he says he is born this day. That is, that promise is now fulfilled to that same people. Unto you who say, Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Those unto you, he says, unto those who say that I will say what my iniquity is, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Unto you who are standing on the outside and who are not able but desirous that you may come on that inside, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Oh, who is that Savior? Who is that Savior? He says who that Savior is. He says that that Savior is Christ the Lord. Christ. And who is Christ? He is the Anointed One. The Anointed One. What does that mean? That he is the appointed one. It is as if that angel comes to those shepherds and he says to those shepherds, O shepherds, there is one who is now appointed. He is now appointed of God himself to take up that work that you are not able to do. He is appointed of the Father. He is appointed of the great judge. Oh, do you fear to die? Do you fear to stand before God? O whom do you fear? O you fear to stand before God himself. You fear his wrath. You fear his displeasure. But it is now that same God. It is that same judge whom you fear, who has appointed, who has sought out one, who has said, who will go for us, and who has appointed one to go for his people. Oh, then he is gracious. And he says, deliver him from going down into the pit. Why? Because I have found a ransom that God himself, the Father, has appointed one just to save, which is Christ the Lord, appointed of his own Father, the judge, but not only appointed by him, but also qualified by him. And what is necessary for that? That is that he needed a body. He needed a body. And what do we read in God's word? That God, his Father, your judge, my judge, did give his son a body like your body and like unto my body. That is what that angel said to them. For unto you is born this day a Savior, given a body like unto the body of his people. A body that can suffer. A body that can die. Qualifying him whom he appointed. Why? Because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that they would turn unto him and live. But all their turning cannot reconcile them with him. No, for them he has given, appointed, and qualified his only begotten son with a body, that he may pay the price in your flesh, in my flesh, that it may be a price that is satisfying unto the Father, unto the judge. It was thought out by the judge. How could this be that I could place them among the children? I will appoint one, a Savior. I will qualify one, a Savior, to be a Savior. Oh, then he shall do everything from the beginning to the end. Oh, then that people will have to do nothing. Oh, they will have to bring nothing with them. They will have to present nothing of themselves. Why? Because they cannot. It is all a stench. All their righteousnesses, all their holinesses, that is all filthy rags to me. I will appoint a Savior. I have found one. I have found a ransom. And I will give him that body, that in that body he may pay that price so completely that he will go even into death and suffer the torments of hell that is deserving unto that wretched and that sinful people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. Why? Because the Lord shows there the fulfillment of his own promise. Oh, what does he say with that? He says, I am the faithful one, and I will never forsake the work of my own hands. And after my people have waited for 4,000 years, and they have despaired even maybe of the promise, or when they have laughed, or when they have said, it is not possible for me anymore, oh, then I will come. Oh, then I will come It is in the city of David, and it is exactly like I have said it was going to be. And there will never be one word of my mouth that is going to fall unto the ground. The seed of the woman is born. Oh, he shall soon bruise that head of that serpent. And he is going to take away all the power of that serpent, the power of death. Oh, for his people, for his own children. There is now the hope. There is now the expectation for everyone that is not able to deliver themselves from their own iniquity unto you. Is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, the Lord, it is God himself that is born, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace is born, Emmanuel, God with us, O congregation. There can be no mightier Savior than this. How can there be one more mighty, more powerful than God himself? What enemy is able to stand before this almighty power of God, before the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Oh, is spiritual death. Oh, you say, I am dead. I feel it. I feel it in all my body. I feel it in my mind. I feel it in my soul. Oh, that spiritual death. Oh, is that now able to stand in the way of this Savior? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? No, he will say to the dry, dead bones, live, and they shall live, and they shall be clothed with flesh, and they shall stand upon their feet. Oh, can a whole life of iniquity stand in the way of this mighty God and this almighty Savior? No, from that cross. Oh, then he says, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, from the east to the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. O congregation, those are now the tidings. They are the tidings that are brought even unto you this day. Oh, they are good tidings. Do they sound in your ears? Did they ever sound in your ears as good tidings? We have to die. We have to die. That message once again has come into our midst, and we have to stand before that great and holy majesty of God. Oh, how is that going to be? Because without this Savior for our soul, applied to our soul, then it is going to be a very fearful thing for us to stand before that majesty of God. Do you ever think about it? Also, when you are young, young people, all those messages have come. A little child, young people, young fathers, even older ones. Oh, it is coming again and again and again. Although we always say it shall be for someone else, and never say that that day is coming also for myself. And how shall I now stand before that throne of God? They are fearful thoughts, I know. Oh, you say, I push them away till later, but it is not wise. No. No, it is not wise also when you are young, young people. Oh, later on, it can be so too late. And that day that is so fast hastening for each and every one of you. Oh, how willing is this Savior to save? Do you believe that? That he is willing? Do you know that the unwillingness is on our part? The unwillingness is on our part. Do you believe that too? Oh, this Savior, if he was not so willing, why would he have come? Why would he have been born? Did he not do that out of the love of his own heart, as well as at the direction of his own Father? And if he has done, congregation, all this, that great wonder, oh, why would he not be willing to save a sinner like you? Like you. Was that not what he was appointed for? Was that not what he was qualified for? Will you then take all that transgression and all that iniquity and everything that you are, your whole existence, and everything that you are not, everything that you ought to be, and take that in your inner closet, and you lay that now before the Lord. And you lay this now before the Lord. And you say, O Lord, wilt thou deliver me? Deliver me from the guilt of my sin, from the pollution of my sin, and from the love of my sin. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need to feel our guilt, our pollution, our wretchedness. Oh, we need to receive a true desire to be delivered from it. Oh Lord, we need thy dear Son to be revealed unto us in a personal way. Oh, look upon us in thy mercy. Oh, what a message is brought unto us from thy word this day. The message of thy coming. The message of the Son of God sent forth to be the Savior, to be the mediator between God and sinners. Oh, how hot as shall hell be when there was in our heart no room in a day of grace. Oh, how shall our conscience be as a gnawing worm to all eternity. Oh, Lord, prevent it. Prevent it by the power of thy Spirit, and make thy Son to be as precious to us as he is unto thee. Do dismiss us with thy blessing. Give thought and meditation upon thy word of truth. Be with us in the rest of this week. Thou knowest what all must take place. Help the mourning family and the new widow and her children and grandchildren and us as a consistory and congregation. Help us too, to speak a few fitting words in such an occasion, and that thou wouldst remember us in thy mercy, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 198, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 4, 5. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 7 of 198. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.